Take your Bibles, please. I'm sorry, Brother Stoltz. Turn to Romans chapter 7. If you get your big feet out of my way, I wouldn't have tripped on you. Romans chapter 7. We're going to read verses 15 through verse 25 together. And I'm going to warn you, this is real wordy and a little confusing. So just read the words that are there and don't think as you read. How's that sound? Because reading it out loud is different than, it's even harder than reading it to yourself. This passage is a little rough. So Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. Let's read responsively. You ready? For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You did it right, not me. Verse 25, ready? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Father, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, may I have the attention of your people. May we focus on the preaching of the Word of God. Please, would you use it to help us tonight? Lord, this group of people could be used to change an entire area. And Lord, you will use us. But Lord, I'd like to be the forefront. I'd like us to lead it, and I'd like us to enjoy what you do through us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. This may be one of the most confusing passages in the Bible for most people. Let me say it. These are God's words. These are not man's words. I hear people say this, and I'm sorry that I disagree, but God wrote this before the foundation of the world. This is not the Apostle Paul saying, I'm confused. God was not confused. Paul may have been, but God was not. These are not Paul's words. These are God's words. Paul was the secretary that wrote them down. That was the best way to say it. Now, it sounds like a very confused person, though, who doesn't know what to think. Let me change venues for a moment. We live in a very perplexing age. We live in a very confusing age. We live in a day of attention deficit disorder and attention hyperactivity disorder. And we live in a world that attention span is that of a gnat. If I don't run around, stand on my head, spit BBs, and chew peanut butter at the same time, some people I can't get their attention. If it doesn't have lights flashing, some people won't pay attention. The overstimulation of people's minds with computers, smartphones, video games, television, computer games, and every other type of stimulation, all the flashing lights, it drives people crazy. I think it's ironic. We call these things smartphones, and we've dumbed everybody down to where they can't think. There are people who go to work every day at the same place and they can't get home without their GPS. That is true. You say, why? Well, I got it. Let's use it. We've got to use it. We're so addicted to technology that we don't think. Our society doesn't think anymore. We have mountains of information at our fingertips. And we think we're thinking when we know how to Google. You think you're smart because you can ask Siri and it'll tell you what you're looking for. I hate to disappoint you. That's not thinking. Calculators do math and computers do math instead of us doing math. Whatever happened to the day when people knew how to count change back instead of looking at the cash register for it to tell you how much change somebody's supposed to get back?
Amen.
Good night. I remember as a kid, some of you guys that are some of you people my age or older will remember. My dad would go to Clarkin's on Saturday to get gas because everything was shut down on Sunday because you couldn't get gas on Sunday. He'd go to the old Clarkin's gas station, and he'd pull up and say, "Fill her up." And when gas is 40 cents a gallon, it, you know, my dad'd pull out a $5 bill. Sometimes he'd have to even pull out a $10 bill. And he was really low on gas then. And the guy would wash the windshield, wash the back window, wipe it off with a newspaper. Remember that? He'd squeegee it and then wipe it with a newspaper because it would make it cleaner. Never did make sense to me, but it always worked. And he had this little metal thing on his belt. He'd have a wad of bills in his pocket, and he'd have that old change counter on his belt. And he had quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies. Remember that? And let's say it was $4.48. My dad handed him a $5 bill. He'd say, 1 and 2 is 50, and 25 is 75, and 25 is $5. Here's your change. They didn't have a calculator. He wasn't using his fingers. He just knew how to ch-ch-ch-ch with that. Man, those guys always impressed me. Good night. You give the average person at Walmart one of those things, and they wouldn't even know where to put it. Yeah. There's a few other things, but we're not going there. Our society doesn't know how to count. Our society doesn't know how to think. Computers tell us what our change are instead of people thinking through it. I can tell you what the change is before the cash register tells you, because I know how to think mathematically that way. Our world has gotten to the point of little or no thinking. Do you know what the term amusement park means? Amuse means no think. Amusement means no think. Ah meaning no, muse meaning think. An amusement park is where you go not to think.
Yes, sir.
But may I tell you something? You are thinking. They're programming what to think. We want to enter information into a computer and let it do our thinking for us. We think because we have this wonderful program that we can punch all the numbers in that we're thinking. Most people couldn't do the math required or do the formulations. You couldn't read a blueprint. I remember taking drafting class in seventh grade. We learned how to do mechanical drawings and drafting. Learned what picas were, and each pica represented whatever your scale was. People don't even know what a scale is on a map. Now, most people struggle in life because they just don't think well. I even hesitate saying this, but I had a friend this week in a different state contact me, and teen suicide in the area is going crazy. And I'm not in this area, in that part of the country. It's bad enough here, but it's worse in other parts of the country. And there's a new game going on social media with teenagers. It's called the Blue Whale. And these kids are, for 50 days, they're being challenged to do certain things, cut themselves and bleed and take pictures of it and sit in precarious spots on top of buildings and do different things. And if you get the Blue Whale, you're supposed to commit suicide. And they're committing suicide by the dozens doing this mess. Say why? Because people don't know how to think. Folks, can I tell you something? If somebody puts on your social media, you're supposed to cut yourself, cut them out. That is stupid. They tell you you're supposed to kill yourself. Get off of that mess.
Yes, sir.
And it's happening by the droves. We sinners have the ability to tell ourselves that we're better than reality shows us. You know, you have a way of justifying how you live, and it's okay. we think that we're better than we really are. We think because we see it the way we see it, that it's true. I know enough about people.
You can have the same event take place, have 10 people watch it, and you should get 10 different stories. Yeah. Brother Harry, you've been in law enforcement. You know what I'm talking about. You can have 10 people watch the same accident, you got 10 different versions. Now, they're all similar, but not exactly alike. When you have 10 versions that are identical, that's when you worry. That's collusion.
Yes, sir.
Kind of like Hillary.
Anyway. We let external stimuli control our thinking. This is why we try to do 10 to 20 things at the same time and none of them ever get done. Everybody doing all right? Yeah, go look at the basement. Go look at your garage and find out how much you don't have done. I didn't tell on you yet. That's later. Now, wait a minute. I taught myself how to think through distractions. You had to go to a college of 2,000 students, sit in the what we called Liberty Square, noisiest place on campus, and I'd sit there and do reading and assignments. And I mean, you got 200 people in there talking and hollering and screaming and eating and stuff coming over the PA and just music playing, and I mean, just loud. I would go in there and do homework to learn how to focus so that I could think through distractions. Do you know I don't sit down and write through an entire sermon without distraction? It's rare. I get phone calls. I get this person calling. I get that person calling. I've got this answer to help with stuff in the office here. Somebody will stop by and preacher can I? Yep, let's. Okay, here we go. I work in 5-minute integrals sometimes. Sometimes it's 60 seconds here and 2 minutes here and 10 minutes here and 40 minutes here and 5 minutes here and 30 seconds here. You say, how do you do that? I've learned how to think. Now, I may not be the smartest thinker in the room. I will agree with you on that. But I have learned how to control my mind. I'm sure I'm not the best example of this. But I live a pretty complex life. I have a lot of projects going all at the same time. But you know what? I know how to schedule them and schedule when to think. My secretary will tell you, we schedule when to schedule meetings to schedule meetings. The ladies' meetings are scheduled, and there's a little group of people that help me do those things. We gather ideas throughout all the year, and we'll throw them in a pot. Then I'll say, okay, we're getting close. We need to schedule a meeting to schedule the mother-daughter banquet. Recently, we had that meeting a couple weeks ago. And think about it. I looked at my schedule and said, it's time to think about it. She pulled the file out, handed me my portion of it. We sat down. We had the meeting. Meeting was over. Put it away. I haven't thought about it again, except when I make an announcement. I did my part of it. I don't worry about it. I don't get in a hurry to, okay, do you have this done? Do you have that done? Do you have this done? Do you have that? I don't micromanage it. I put the right people in the right place. So I don't have to. I don't worry about it. Brother Mike?
Yeah, I'm not too awful concerned about that project.
Say why?
I'm not building it.
Mr. Jimmy Walker ought to be worried right now, not me.
Yeah, buddy.
He's got all his subs lined up. He's got all of his suppliers lined up. He's got it all ready to go. He knows what he's doing. I'm not going to micromanage him. I'm not going to pester him. What good's it going to do me to put hours and hours and hours into thinking about that? It doesn't help anything. Just this last week, I sat down with one or two people, and we started talking about different colors and floorings and wall colors and this, that, and the other thing, and just throwing some ideas down. And I said, in a couple weeks, bring it back to us, and let's think about it again. I haven't thought about it one more time. We're 6 to 7 months out, but I'm already working on colors. Say why? Because I don't have time to sit there and think about it when the time comes. Well, am I going to get a say-so? No. Yes. You know, sermons, counseling, soul winning, buildings, and all that. The business that I do for the church and other things. I'm trying to sell my house. I'm trying to build another house. And I'm dealing with all those things and the banking with that. And on and on and on. I live a pretty complex life. Just like everybody else in this room. But I've learned how to focus and not let distractions keep me from important things. My mind is just like everyone else's. I've just learned how to discipline mine a little better than the average person. Now, we don't think enough the way God wants us to think. That's the problem. You see, we don't know ourselves well enough to be honest with ourselves. Let me say that again. We don't know ourselves well enough to be honest with ourselves. We don't listen to how we react and respond to people. We think just because we know something, bless God, that's enough. Bull our way through it. Sorry. I'm constantly checking myself. I'll constantly say to my wife, was I too harsh there? There's times, this morning, I preached kind of a hard sermon. At the end of the invitation, I leaned over to Brother Stoltz and said, was I too rough? Say why? Because I got to guard me. I can get an edge, and I know me. So I say, was I too rough? Did I come across too brash? I'm not afraid of preaching the truth, trust me. I just don't want to be having a bad attitude while I do it. Now there's times I'm going to cut loose and I'm going to flip what anybody thinks. Because I'm going to wax on the devil and kick him right square in the teeth, the nose, and anywhere else I can plant a foot. Amen? Now, we don't think about our words and how that speech will affect someone. I said something today, and my wife said, at lunch today, are you sure you really wanted to say that way? And I said, why? And then she told me why. I went, no. So I'm monitoring a situation right now. Just in case I said something just leading the wrong way. She wasn't critiquing me. She just didn't want somebody hurt. I never intended to hurt anybody. But I see how it could have. So I'll watch it. But I don't want to hurt them by even bringing it up. So I won't. We'll just watch it. If I think it's tender, I'll take the plunge. Now, listen to me very carefully here. We sometimes think that starting a job or planning a job means we're successful. You're not successful till the job's complete, running, and successful. There's a lot of starters in this world, but there's very few finishers.
Yes, sir, that's right.
There's a lot of people who get excited about the beginning of a building project. Let's see who's with us when we're done.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? There's a battle for the mind. Romans 7 is about that battle for the mind. We read here, you know, those things that I thought I would do, I didn't do. The things I thought I would never do, that I did. I didn't think I would do this, but I did that. Back and forth. And the Bible says in verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Warring against the law of my mind. There is a battle or a war for your mind. First of all, we have to understand something. Every one of us has a mind that is affected and tainted by sin. And all of us are going to fight that sinfulness in our minds. That's the first battle you're going to fight. Do I see it my way or do I see it God's way? In the day thou eatest, thou shalt not surely die. You could be like gods, knowing good and evil. Uh-oh, we get the God mentality. By the way, our minds are polluted. Our minds are destroyed by sin, yet we still think we're okay. There are Christians going to quote-unquote Baptist churches that think it's okay to drink socially And they have explained it away to enough to where it's okay to drink alcohol, just don't get drunk. Churches in this area that believe that. My Bible says, wine is mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If you is not wise, that means you is a fool.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you the truth, amen?
Amen.
You see, we don't even really allow the sin to be out of our minds to take it as God says it. I have lost people in this church because I believe God said this, not Paul. That people who left our church, you take the Bible too literally. Well, thank you very much. It doesn't bother me.
Amen.
Because somewhere down the line, you and I are going to have a scuffle, I'm sure. Now, I have to hurry. I've got 15 minutes, and I have 4 points. Number one, there's four different kinds of mind. Number one, we have our own mind. Romans 7:23, warring in my mind. In my mind. This is your own sinful human brain. This is the mind with no spiritual influence on it at all. How in the world could somebody explain away sodomy as being right and natural? How can we explain away doing surgeries to change the gender of children as young as 4 and 5 years old because the parents say that the child identifies that way? And we legitimize this. Can I tell you something? That's not natural. Now, until a kid gets about 13, 14, 15 years old, yeah, the other gender has cooties. I get it. But eventually the cooties wear off. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 11, and you don't need to turn there because I really don't have time to even turn to all the verses I have tonight. I'm going to give you some references, but I do want to read this one to you. Proverbs 29, 11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. We're very good about expressing what we think.
Yes, sir. Preach
it. A wise man doesn't tell you everything he thinks.
Yes, sir.
I had a very wise preacher, Brother Hiles, used to tell me. He used to tell us all, be careful telling everybody everything you know, because someday somebody's going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Better not tell everything you know, because somebody's going to ask you a question. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28, talks about the Sodomites having a reprobate mind, following their own mind that is reprobate. Romans chapter 8, verse number 7, just across the page. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it indeed can it be. Our sinful mind goes against God.
Yes, that's
right. Period. Romans chapter 14, verse number 5. Let me, since it's just a couple pages over, I'll read it to you. Romans chapter 14, verse number 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Brother Stoltz, run up here for a second. He's a truck driver. Did you know his schedule's just as important as my schedule is? There's times I've said, Brother Stoltz, need something done, how's your schedule look? And I'll say, you don't need to help me. You got too much on your plate. Let me get somebody else. Say why? Because I value his schedule. And if he's got something else planned, no problem. No problem. Never has heard me complain about it. Not one time. You say why? Because my schedule is no more important than his, and his schedule is no important than mine. His is as important to him as mine is to me. We're not to think above somebody else. Thank you very much. My wife and I don't think my schedule is more important than her schedule. Mine may be a little bit more complex because she's not working a full-time job. Well, she is. She's taking care of me. That's three full-time jobs. Yes, sir. You know, but we don't get into this. Well, my agenda is far more important than your agenda. No. If I want to go do something, but she's scheduled to go get her hair cut, her haircut's as important to her as whatever I want to do. Let her go get her haircut. I'll schedule mine later. No big deal. Say, why? Because that's what she wants. Our own mind is our carnal, selfish mind, and it battles the flesh because it is sinful. Number two, God says there is a same mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. Take your Bible, turn there, because some of you ought to memorize this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, just a few pages over. The Bible says, yes, I'm in the right chapter. Bless you. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together by the same in the same mind and in the same judgment. It says being in the same mind and in the same judgment. That means when mom and dad have to discipline a child, they need to be in the same mind. And if one's not quite seeing it the other way, somebody needs to get on board. Everybody doing all right? Romans chapter 12, verse 16. I don't have time to turn there, but it talks about the being of the same mind. You can't base everything on your mind. It goes back to what I preached out of Ephesians 5 this morning, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Fellas, every once in a while, your wife is right and you're wrong. Let me rephrase that. Every once in a while, my wife's right and I'm wrong.
Way to go, preacher.
Yeah. Fellas, every once in a while, you're right and she's wrong.
Amen. That's good, preacher.
But guess what? Either way, you ought to take credit or the blame and take the pressure off of her. If she's that strong about it, as long as it's not wrong, indecent, or immoral, sometimes it's best to give in and then say, maybe next time we ought not do it that way if it didn't work out. And say, I should have had better judgment. Everybody doing okay? Man, it's getting quiet in here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1 talks about, let me turn there real quickly. I'm there. Don't turn there if you're not there. 1 Peter 4, 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Can I tell you something? When somebody's hurting, hurt with them. This mentality, and I realize with kids it's a little different every once in a while, but fellas, if your wife's hurting, don't say, well, suck it up, just keep on going. She's not a man. Quit being a sodomite.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got this mentality that everybody's got to be a man like you. God bless you. Proverbs 30 talks about men like you. Surely I'm more brutish than any man, hath not the understanding of a man. Why don't we have the understanding as well as the strength? Suffering will keep us humble enough not to make as many stupid mistakes. I jumped across that ditch today and didn't quite make it. I didn't have my glasses on. And the grass grew a little farther over that ditch than I realized the edge of the ditch was. I hopped across that thing. And without my glasses, you don't see quite as well that far away. Guess what? I was about 3 inches short. I went down. The worst part was, I didn't hurt my back, didn't hurt my leg. But I've had this stupid tennis elbow for over a week, and I landed right on that thing. And it's like somebody stuck a hot poker in it, went all the way out my arm and my fingers. Everybody, preacher, are you okay? Yeah. I didn't want to show anybody how bad it hurt, but when I got out of the hole, Joe wanted to pull me out by that arm. I said, no, use this one. I'm not coming out with that one. I knew not to get pulled up by that. That's too much weight pulling, not Joe's, mine, on that thing. Because it was already going, flames coming out my little finger. Say, what'd you do? Went home and took Aleve and ibuprofen at the same time. Wonderful invention. This doesn't mean that just because you're the leader, you know everything. Can I tell you something? Leaders make mistakes too. And a good leader listens to followers so they don't have to make as many mistakes. I'm only going to use this illustration, Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau were divided by their own mind, but they were reunited by the same mind. If you go back and read the story of when they restored their fellowship, they were of the same mind. They left on their own minds. They restored because of a same mind. Marriages need to work together to have the same mind and quit changing their mind all the time. Number three, I got to hurry up. I have 5 minutes. God says there are times to be of one mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 2, talks about being of one mind. Can I tell you something? Where are we to be of one mind? On that book right there. Did you know those truths never change? When it comes to salvation, we need to be of one mind. When it comes to the standards and doctrines of the Word of God, we ought to be of the same mind. It's not left up to private interpretation. Love is based on the Bible because God is love. We ought to be of the same mind in love. My wife and I function together well because we're most of the time of a same mind. I didn't say sane, I said same. All right? By the way, love is not to be based on emotions. Love is not to be based on how somebody looks. Love is to be based on truth and on the sameness of truth. Are we doing okay? Reminds me of the lady that looked at her husband. She said, "Honey, will you love me when I'm old and gray?" He said, "I've loved you through every other color." Sorry. I it wasn't written down, but it sure was funny at the time, and I couldn't get it out of my head. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8, talks. It's in reference to the marriage relationship, and says, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." I taught on that recently and preached on it recently. That's love in marriage. We need to work together, not fuss about everything. It's not a slave master, slave ownership kind of thing. We're to work together. I said this, I think, last week in a sermon. There's some misteaching back in the 70s and 80s. Well, man is the god of the home. The wife is the Holy Spirit, and the children are the son. Okay, if that be true, which I don't find it anywhere in Scripture necessarily, but I wouldn't be opposed to it, as long as you don't get this God mentality. Did you know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit agree with one another? They don't fuss and feud with each other? If you're going to live that way, let's live it God's way, not the way you want to take it. We shouldn't be so focused on a project that we destroy everybody's spirit around us. Oh boy, I can get that way. I'm going to preach on my sin for a second here. You know, you men especially know what I'm talking about. If you're going to get it done, everybody get out of the way, because it's just got to get done. Can I tell you something? Stop so you don't crush everybody around you. It doesn't have to be done right then just because you want it done. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Teaches us how to live with peace and without conflict, being of one mind. That's how you get along in church. Can I tell you how we get along in church? I don't allow gossip. Gossip is a bunch of everybody using their own mind and not having one mind. If you're going to talk about somebody's sin, don't talk about it here. By the way, don't put it on Facebook either. Did you know you're supposed to get along with your family? Even your extended family that don't live in your household? Ouch. I didn't say you had to be best buddies with them. Don't you think I have family members that are a little hard to get along with?
They'll tell you they have a family member that's hard to get along with. My wife's family, it's a very interesting clan. They have some worldly ways. I'm not talking about her mom and dad necessarily, but some of her aunts and uncles. God bless one of her uncles. He and I are, we're close to the same age, actually. I'm guessing Jake's about 5-6 years older than me, and that's it. He's about my brother's age. Jake uses words that I don't use. I have to be careful. If you ever look on my phone, I get some texts from him. He's got words on there I wouldn't use. But I wouldn't disagree with how he used it. Now, wait a minute. I led Jake to the Lord. Tough old Catholic Marine. Let me tell you. I don't say this lightly. I think the man would die for me. They don't have any children. They asked my daughter to be the recipient of their will. Because they just love my family. They don't live like we live. But they love our kids. They love us. We love them. They used to come to our house and they both would smoke. I wouldn't even let them smoke outside my door. They had to leave my property. They had to walk down the street to go smoke. Eventually, they gave up smoking. Say, why wouldn't you let them just smoke out on your property? I'm the pastor and the assistant pastor in the neighborhood. They're not smoking outside my door. Mm-mm. We had that talk. You know, I never had conflict with them over it. And I loved them. Everybody doing okay? Number four, by the way, you ought to get along with people with whom you work, whether they're saved or lost. If you can't get along with the people you work with, something's wrong with you. Number four, God says that we can have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 talks about us having the mind of Christ. Did you know that you don't tell God what to do? You're supposed to ask for the mind of Christ so that you can have the mind to think as God wants you to think? Say why? Because you have a sinful mind that's corrupt, it's destitute, it's desperately wicked, and it's going to take you down the wrong path. Why don't you claim the mind of Christ? By the time I get myself wound up about ready to come unscrewed on somebody, I'll stop and say, now, Lord, help me have your mind. Especially when I go down to meet with the county. I sat in my truck this last Wednesday and said, Lord, I better have your mind. Because if not, I'm really going to blow it in there. And I didn't take my gun off. So, Lord, let me have your mind. I walked in. We had one of the most wonderful meetings. Can I tell you why? Because I didn't use my mind. I used God's.
Yes. Amen.
I don't like being patient. I'm one of those people that wants patience. But I want them now. Yeah. I don't want the process. I want the patience. Just give it to me, God. You know, how dare we tell God how he's supposed to help us? Isn't it amazing? We get this mentality, God, I need help. And when God doesn't do it your way, you get mad at God. Why don't you claim the mind of Christ and accept it as God gives it to you? How dare we hold God hostage to make him give us what we want? God, I'll do this if you do this for me, but if not, you're not getting it. Can I tell you something? We have no right to tell God how we're going to get ourselves to heaven. That's what man's religion is. We're just like Cain. Cain brought the fruit of the ground instead of a blood sacrifice. He said, God, if you don't like it, too bad. He said, now Cain, sin lieth at the door. I've got a lamb crouched at the door, ready to jump into your arms. He said, God, I brought what I have. If you don't like it, tough. You go to the book of Jude, it talks about thou hast gone in the way of Cain. In other words, you're telling me how you're going to do something instead of listening the way I told you to do it.
Yes, sir.
Why don't we get the mind of Christ in our relationships, in our productivity at work, in our love, in every other part of our life? Your mind, same mind, one mind, or the mind of Christ? It's up to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed.